Wow, it's a great day of worship here, isn't it? We'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. You all thought I was going to sing next, didn't you? Well, I love the choir. I'm going to sing again. Don't you? Aren't you blessed by our celebration choir? Yeah, well, oh man. I mean, if you just think it, there's about 30-ish folks up there just praising the Lord through the Holy Spirit, and it's coming out of their hearts and their faces and the words of testimonials about Jesus, the baby born in the manger, the Christ of the cross, sitting at the right hand of the Father, coming again soon. And then what a blessing to Matt and Sarah to be able to sing together as dad and daughter, and what a blessing that was as well. And we have had a great weekend with many, many guests here, and we were able to present the gospel, and we trust the Lord that it will not return void. And we also had a wonderful Christmas drama as well. And so we're just thankful today as we come before the Lord. And for the next 3 weeks, we're doing a Christmas sermon series called The Gift of Christmas. The Gift of Christmas. And today the theme will be selfless love. Next week it'll be steadfast love. And then the week of Christmas Sunday will be sacrificial love. So I expect y'all to remember that. I'm teasing. Well, I just wanted to say that selfless love is shown many ways, but I want to take the opportunity to just kind of tell the story of Nick and Kendra Moore. Nick and Kendra Moore, their first ministry position was in Spencer County at Redemption Hill Church. And Nick and Kendra have been on the mission field, called from that church, from going to seminary here at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and are now in Zimbabwe since 2015. And so his calling was such that he realized that as he was about to graduate, he kind of heard some stats that 60% of all folks that go to seminary stay in the States and they go toward pastoral ministry. And he said that kind of jolted him just a little bit to hear that news. In the teens, percentage-wise, many of them teach in higher education, colleges, seminaries, and that kind of thing as well. He said about 5% never go into ministry. They kind of fall by the wayside one reason or another. But only 4% go to be missionaries internationally. Now, some of you folks know this young couple, or are at least aware of this young couple. And so the amazing part is that their heart was touched to be used by God, and his call was to minister and train pastors in Zimbabwe at a seminary there. And so the number of pastors now is about 60 pastors that go throughout Zimbabwe to plant churches, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to understand the doctrine, the theology that Jesus taught us, that the New Testament taught us as well. And so, what a fantastic calling, what a fantastic ministry. And the sacrifice part of it is that he has not one child, not three children, not five children, but he has seven children that he took to Zimbabwe. I don't know, it kind of makes me think of sacrificial love there. It was a tremendous calling, a tremendous sacrifice, and it's an example, I think, of selfless love. Certainly modest means over there, modest living, but the part where we can be a part is that through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering every December, we join with over 44,000 other Southern Baptist churches collectively giving to support over 3,700 international missionaries. And that is a great privilege, and I might add it's a great responsibility that we try to do our part. And I'm just hopeful that we will exceed the $4,000 goal this year. And I hope that you will be inspired as you look and read this coming week through the little information that we give you. It's short. It's a good devotional for your for around mealtime or around bedtime, and you learn of some of the ministries and calling of your Southern Baptist missionaries serving abroad. We also have some from this very church. Scott and Joyce Pittman have been serving in Brazil for years and former pastor here. And some of you even know others that you have a profound love for and respect for that you want to support. But what an example of selfless love. As we begin to think of that theme today, I just wanted to kind of introduce it a little bit to you to say that each of us are called to selfless love. You say, well, I don't really understand the concept. What's it talking about? It's talking about the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. It's total love, isn't it? It's a priority. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty selfless kind of love, isn't it, that we would place them before. And so there's this priority of loving God and our neighbor first. And I just want to say at the outset to kind of give us the theme today, selfless love is a product of humility. Selfless love is a product of humility. And humility is the posture or the position whereby we receive God's love and we give God's love away. It's the place where we bring God glory and the place where God blesses His church and His people. Do you believe that? Will God help us to understand and to know what it means to give selfless love and what it looks like today. So we're going to read a couple of scriptures together from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. I'll invite you to stand and join me in reading that scripture. Verses 5 through 8. All right, join me, please. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we come before you as the true God, the only God. We come in the name of Jesus, your Son, and his name shall be the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God. And we come before you giving you thanks for the celebration of his birth, that which is unique to any faith, the incarnation, God becoming man. We thank you that you have reached down with your selfless love whereby we may know you and love you and serve you. We praise you for the life and the ministry, the death and resurrection of Jesus and his example for how we, his children, are to follow him. And we come before you humbly today. We confess our sins before you. We ask for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would help us to recognize and use the gifts that you have given to us. We pray as well that we would find the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to give witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray today that we would hear from you and that our lives would be touched, our hearts would be changed. And Lord, that you would help us to be an evangelistic missional church. For the glory of God, through Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we look particularly at verse 5 through 8, but as we look at that passage again that we've just read, I just want to say that the identity of Jesus is the model of humility. We see it riddled in this passage, these four verses. Surely we can't miss that. The self-giving, the selfless love that he exhibited for us in his life, in his ministry and death and resurrection. And it's a pattern for us to follow. It's not only a blessing to us to receive in the sense of our salvation, but it's also a blessing to note that it is a part of our sanctification. We're to grow to be like him and how the life that he lived as the example before us. And so when we see that This is a critical area for our Christian life and for our Christian experiences of life. And so the example and the standard of humility or selfless love should hold high in our lives. Now let me just give you an example from the very life of Jesus. We think of his parents, Mary, a handmaiden of the Lord, probably a teenager, and the Bible says that she was faithful and righteous. Joseph, a carpenter. And we find that they were of no notable birth or background or wealth or any important position in life. And yet God chose them to be the earthly parents of Jesus. And then we remember that Jesus was born in a lowly manger, a place where animals live and eat. And we understand it was a borrowed stable. And we understand as well that he lived and grew up in a very nondescript town called Nazareth. No good report whatsoever in Scripture that is taught to us. Very common family with no particular note, nowhere to lay his head, the Scripture said. He lived almost homeless, sleeping outdoors with, some would say, a ragtag bunch of disciples, again, of no notable birth or fame or fortune whatsoever. And we begin to see that even his coronation was that as of a colt of a donkey instead of a white stallion or white horse coming into Jerusalem like he did in the book of John chapter 12. And so Jesus, even in John chapter 13, when the disciples were arguing who was greatest in the kingdom as they gathered to have communion together, and no one would be willing to stoop to wash one another's feet to get the dust off, Jesus wrapped a towel around himself and said, "This is who I am. This is who my kingdom is. It's a kingdom of selfless love. It's a kingdom of humility. It's a kingdom of service." And he said, "You have seen what I have done with you. Now you go and do likewise." And that's who we're called to be, and that's the celebration of the gift of Christmas, is that Jesus came and offered his selfless love to save you and me from our sins, but he also gave it as a model that we too would offer our selfless love in a world that it speaks volumes, in a world where it's very, very unique. Well, today I've asked a couple in our church to come kind of help me to develop the message today. I'm going to ask Dixie and Rick Taylor to come and share with us today, all right? Would you welcome them as they come forward a little bit to help us out? Now, I've asked them to come share with us just a little bit because they're some of the leaders that are helping us to become an evangelistic missional church, missional community. All right. Thank you guys for willing to help us out. The first question I'd like to ask you, what is selfless Christian love and why is it unique in today's world?
I'll answer the first
part. All right. Sounds good.
What's selfless?
You answer whatever you want to, brother.
What it means to me. All right. Yes. God extended grace to us. In order for it to extend grace to other people. And at this time of the year, I think about angel trees and everything where people extend their grace by adopting a child or something. But when I think of selfless love, it's taking grace another step. It's going into people's lives, living or doing life with them. That you learn to love these people and you care about them. And it's tough. It's tough at times. Mm-hmm. But that's what it means to me. It's sacrificial.
Amen.
That you toil with it. I know we were in Sunday school this morning, I was talking about that. A lot of times, I try to find an excuse to keep from doing something. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit continues to convict me to do it.
Amen.
And so it is sacrificial, but the rewards are so great.
Amen. Well, what are the biggest challenges to offer selfless Christian love? Or anything else you would like to say, Dixie?
No, for selfless love for me, like in the play over the weekend, you know, it's easy sometimes maybe to be selfless with somebody that you love. And sometimes it's not. sometimes it's not. But when you get involved with someone, when your eyes are open, my heart has been changed so much in the last couple of years to where I could see opportunities and see people that I would have never even noticed before. I would have passed right by. So selfless love is when you give of yourself and then you invest in people and you love them so much. And maybe sometimes we're not so lovable. Just like I'm not so lovable, but Jesus doesn't give up on me.
Amen. Very good. Now, how would you think our church could better give selfless Christian love? Anybody?
Well, I think we're doing it in bits and pieces, I think, in the last year or two. I mean, just look at how our church is at Awake Ministries and, you know, at Operation Care and with the homeless and at Meadow Ridge and just the different places that we go, Colonial Halls. And, I mean, there's even ministries that I don't even know about in this church. But we've gotten past the point, too, of making it be 40 days of some emphasis to where it's just a way of life now. So when we see the opportunities, we have got to just let your heart be convicted and just know it's what we're meant to do. When Jesus came here, just what you read, when he came here, he came as a servant to serve us. And he kept serving us because he saw that we weren't going to do this. He gave his life for us so that we could share this. And I'm going to tell you, for those of you who've known me for a long time, I spent 40 years of being the most selfish person that could be. And when your heart changes, it changes everything. It changes everything. It gives you new eyes and just new ways. Amen. And when you've got a partner to go along beside you to support that, it's an amazing thing.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Yeah.
Very good. And one last word or anything else you'd like to say, Rick, but why is it unique in our world to see selfless love? Yeah.
Because we're selfish. We're all about us.
Busy, selfish.
Busy.
Yeah. Any closing words, brother?
Well, I'm going to add to what Dixie said, that as far as the church, how do we grow into doing this? And the first thing I believe is, we have to realize that once we become a member of this church, we're not done. We're just starting. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but hearts have got to change. Mm-hmm. We can't be satisfied just coming to church and that's it. We've got the mission field used to be a sign on the old chapel. Going out the front door, you're now entering the mission field. I think we have forgotten that. At times, we forget about there's people in this congregation needs our help, that needs our love, but we're not looking for it.
Amen. All right. Would you thank Rick and Dixie to help us out today? Let's put that on that poster. Well, hopefully in verses 5 through 8, we see the example of selfless love, and hopefully the testimonial has resonated with our hearts as well. I just kind of want to transition us to the ingredients of selfless love. What's the motive? It's gratitude for all that God has done for us, his love and his blessings, and we kind of see that in verse 1. So I'm going to take us back to Philippians 2, verse 1 a little bit. In that passage, you'll see, therefore, if, or therefore, since, or I like, therefore, because you have encouragement from being united with Christ. Isn't that true? And so if you replace if with since or because, this carries a lot of meaning for us. Because we've We've received encouragement from Jesus because he walks along beside us by the Holy Spirit of God, because we've received of his comfort and his peace and his promises. That's the reason that we have gratitude, and that's the reason we want to serve him. Not only that, but you'll see following that, is that if you found any comfort, or since you found comfort of his love, or because you found comfort from his love. And what we're speaking of is that comfort when life begins to squeeze you, when life begins to harm you and you begin to suffer, and the comfort of his assurance and his presence and his power with you, to know that he is drawing near to you. If we will run to him rather than run away from him, we find his comfort. And not only that, but it says, if there's any common sharing in the Spirit, or fellowship in the Spirit, it's that aspect of the Holy Spirit of God ministering to us, reminding us of the teachings and truth and example of Jesus our Lord. It's the reminder that the Holy Spirit gives gifts for you to serve God and to serve others. It's the understanding that when you look at Scripture, it's the Holy Spirit that illuminates your heart and mind to help you know and understand who Jesus is and who he has called us to be. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of empowering us. When we worship together, when we're filled with the Spirit, we feel the very presence of God in our minds and our hearts, and we're ready to leave this place to serve him, praying that it lasts longer than before we get to our cars. It's not just an emotion, is it? It's a relationship. It's the truth of the mind of Christ in us. And if there's any tenderness or affection and compassion, well, sure, if this has been your experience with Jesus Christ, the truth of Christ that we have in common, the Scripture says that we've received of his affection and compassion in our life, then we have received his mercy and his grace and his love over and over again. And look what it says in verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded. He speaks heavenly in the first verse, saying on behalf of Christ, if you've received this, yes. If you receive this in a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then he says, in an earthly manner, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And it's so important that we understand that the like-mindedness comes from the truth of Scripture. We cannot find and be like-minded unless there's the reality of the truth of Scripture in our life. We have no common foundation. We don't try to induce you to some emotional state. We try to encourage you to know the truth that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sin and was raised to life that we might have an eternity with him the moment we proclaim him as Lord of our life through confession of sin and repentance of sin and belief. And that is the truth that binds us together when he says, make my joy complete by being offering selfless love, by being humble like the Lord was humble, having that same love, being in one spirit, one purpose, one calling, one mind. These are the ingredients of Scripture. Now, the primary source of selfless love is obviously God's grace. And then it's also man's faith or your faith. Now, the Scripture tells that the primary source of that is at salvation. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, you'll see on the screen. And it says there that he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. And I kind of want to say to you that denying yourself is to be selfless, to place him first in our life. And I want to just say that as we take up our cross, our place of ministry, as we die to self, as we die to selfishness, as we die to sin, we become a new creation. We become a new person in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things become new. The old man now is a new man. And we struggle with that battle in our lives, but when we begin to see this, then we develop this selfless love through repentance and belief. Through the belief and repentance. So if you look a little bit further, if you will, in verses 3 and 4 of Philippians chapter 2. And then it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourself. And then verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. How does this take place? Well, the primary source is that when you believe and meet Jesus Christ as the risen Lord in your life, this repentance comes through that belief where you have a new heart, a new desire, a new appetite to know Him, to love Him, and to know others and love them and to serve them, and that His kingdom here on earth may grow. You begin to think differently and have a new mind. So if you're wondering how this transformation takes place, how you in your life begin to develop selfless love, it comes through a living relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. Listen, if you don't have it at the very inception, you've got to worry about being saved, because He comes in to bring a new heart, a new mind, and a new will. So if life is all about you, or life is selfish in general, and I'm not talking about being good, but if that's not the new DNA and the new nature in you of being a part of the kingdom of God, then something is dreadfully wrong in life. And so this repentance happens to such an extent that we got new eyes. We got new ears. We see things differently. We hear things differently as the Holy Spirit of God leads us and guides us. Now, I want to say this, that a secondary source of selfless love, again, is God's grace and your faith as well. And from that, it's the process of sanctification. So you say that begins when we meet Jesus and we're born again of a new heart, mind, and will. But look at your responsibility, and I love this verse, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, just down the page a little bit for you. And this verse is 12 and 13 of Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read the second part where it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. We have responsibilities to do our part. And as we've become a child of God, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But look at verse 13. God's going to do His part. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. So you have a good balance of faith and grace there for us to be able to develop and grow in selfless love and compassion and all the offshoots of that. We are commanded to do so. We're expected to do so. That's God, how He works in our life. So we ask God to help us to see or hear every day. Lord, help us to see where You're working. Help us to listen to where Your Spirit is telling me to go and to minister and to speak. Can you pray that prayer every day? That's part of our work. Continue to work out your salvation, to bring Him into our daily life. And that is what God expects us to do. Submit our lives daily for God's use. God, would You use me today? Would You help me to minister to others? Would You allow me to give my story of salvation, my testimony to someone else? Would You use me to minister to the least of these? Lord, would You give me that heart that I'm just not going to be a volunteer? And don't get me wrong, we need volunteers, amen? But here's a distinct difference between volunteers and servant. A volunteer might say, I'll help you guys out because you're my friend. But God wants a servant's heart. And this is the ingredients of a certain heart, is that is who you are, and that's who you are day in and day out. And there can be a big difference between just volunteering here and there. Serving is, again, as Rick and Dixie said, pouring your life into doing life with others. It is who you are. It's the fellowship of faith. And then listening to the Holy Spirit and renewing our minds daily, that we might prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You know, just for me, I'll just say that I'm asking God to help me better evangelize. Would you join me in asking that not only of me and praying for me, but for yourself and for our church, that we be an evangelistic, missional church in the world today? I'm asking God to help me be better in walking in the Spirit. What does that mean? That I don't get up and before I know it, it's noon and I haven't talked with the Lord or felt the consciousness that the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to me to say something or speaking to me to do something. That's the maturity of the faith that is ingredients of this selfless love that is given before us. Now, I want to give you the antithesis or the contrast of selfless love. And I'm just saying that these are a couple of examples. There's more than this. But if you will, think of with me of a giver and taker. Who comes to your mind? Don't say it out loud. Don't be elbowing anybody, all right? There are givers, and then there's takers. Well, we could define those pretty easily. And you'll say, well, what's distinct to that in the Christian realm? To bring glory to the Lord, not to receive any of the accolades yourself. In fact, you want to point to Him in all things and His glory and how He has worked in your life, how He's changed your life, how He uses you in that. But, you know, some of the antithesis is that if you're a taker, then there's a good chance that something's wrong in your relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, this is a tough one here, but for some people, think of a controlling personality. It's got to be your way, and everything's about I and me. And you know, Scripture gives us clear warning about that, but there's a problem with your spiritual life if you control everything, everybody, anytime, any way. Amen? Now, those of you who said that are married to one. No, Jesus. I'm just pulling your leg. We all can be controlling. We all can be takers. But the point is, just those two examples out of many, God calls us to humble, selfless love. And so we're seeing the antithesis of it is that many times if we don't like authority, the authority of God in our life, then we're going to be a taker and controlling if we're not careful and other things as well. We're going to be selfish about our life. And the Holy Spirit calls on you to give your life to Jesus. In Luke chapter 18, the message is like this. A rich young ruler came and asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" He said, "There's no one good but one, but you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not lie. Honor your father and your mother." And he gave all of those examples of the Ten Commandments that were very outward in nature. And he said, "All those things I've done since I've been young." He said, "But one thing that you lack, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." He said, "Well, why do you like using that example?" Well, it's certainly not because of money. It's because every one of us have a priority that seeks to be above Jesus' lordship. And the message is, whether it's money or whatever it may be in your life, Jesus is the priority for humble, selfless love that's real in our life when we're saved and when we're growing to maturity in Him. And God gives us grace to be able to grow in that way, but we also have to do our own part and continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the example of that is our good friend Jerry Arrington. He used to sit right back there, Dale and Rhonda and the group here in this bar back corner. Some of the folks knew him. Had no family, lived by himself, had no family after his mother died, and moved to Jeffersontown about 3 years ago. And I'll just say it like this, like all of us, Jerry was a rascal. What does that mean? Enjoyed having fun, pretty flamboyant in the sense of his conversation many times. And you know, we're called to be fruit inspectors, discerners of the Spirit, not judging, right? Judging is a whole different demeanor. It is angry. I want to hurt you. I want to judge you. I want to send you to hell. There's no spirit of love there. Discernment is you have a heart cry for folks. You have a burden for them. And so, you know, in discernment, you know, I was with Jerry in his last few years. And so I ended up being his POA and his medical surrogate. But with that a couple of times, it was putting him on a vent, taking him off a vent, and thankful for our good medical personnel. But with that one night about 3 years ago, I went to the hospital. I said, "Well, Jerry, how'd you rest?" And he said, "I didn't rest a bit all night long." I said, "Man, what happened?" And he was distraught. He said, "I cried out all night long for the Lord Jesus Christ to save me." I said, well, what do you think? He said, I think he saved me. Now, any one of us in this room can say that, and many of us have several times and have been baptized with several different baptisms in several different churches, and that's okay. But what I'm going to tell you, in that three-year period, I began to see Jerry's life change. He began to say, how can I serve? He would ask me, how can I serve? What can I do? And he began to have a concern for folks. Doesn't mean he wasn't perfect. It doesn't mean that I didn't have to walk to him in public and say, hey, Jerry, what are we doing here? Oh, nothing, preacher, nothing. Everything's fine. But he began to change and have a heart for God and the things of God. He began to think differently. On a Thursday in October last year, I called Jerry. I said, Jerry, I'm going to be out of town. I won't be back in till Tuesday, so I probably won't get to check on you. He said, if you have a need, I said, you know, call your dear friend Angie here at the church office. Well, when he was in Simpsonville, a lot of us could get to him and take care of him, couldn't we? But he went on to tell me that Thursday before I left, he said, Steve, he says, my life has changed. He said, you may not believe it, but I don't even cuss anymore. Now, none of us are perfect, but I said, that is a miracle. None of us are perfect. Well, we went on and he testified to me for whatever reason. I told him, I said, I'll check on you next week. Got back in next week. Angie had been trying to contact him. Could raise no answer whatsoever. We had, what's it called, Mike, when you do a drive-through with the police to check on something? Well check? Well check. And so J-Town Police did a well check. I was on my way down on Wednesday, and he had been dead since Saturday. You see a changed life. And you know, with Jerry, he gave all of his estate to the Lord's Kitchen in downtown Louisville, a homeless shelter, the kitchen. And he gave half of it to the church. And I'm just saying that's the example that we're talking about in salvation. I believe with all my heart that I saw a difference, not that I was judging him, but in the last 3 years. Man, that man changed. He was changing. It doesn't mean he was perfect. Who is, right? But he had a heart and a desire now to please and honor Jesus. And I just want to say that Jesus' selfless love is an example of our calling. And he began to be more selfless, Jerry did, you know. He began to be more humble. Again, not that your flesh don't rise up, right? But you could see a difference in his desire. And selfless love is a product of this growing humility. And let me just say that real selfless love is evidenced, I know you like this, through your time, through your talents or your gifts, and through your treasures. You check that out and you'll know if you have selfless love. And really, it's a part of our DNA. It's part of who we are. You know, I asked Rick and Dixie to come up because they're leaders in helping us to become an evangelistic missional church. But you know, really, most of us, we don't really want to go that far. I'd rather volunteer and just help somebody, because if I don't, they're just going to cling to me. They're going to bother me. They're going to call me. And they're going to have too many needs or something like that. Yep, you're right. And it's okay. But that's why God has given us the church, right? We do things together. And we're looking for more boots on the ground in 2020. Because when we serve together, no one has to get burned out, right? We have many hearts and many passions for many people. And we can all jump in and enjoy the blessings of bringing glory to God as he brings blessings to his church. Now, I just want to end on this. The Lord loves you today. We've talked about being saved of your sins. And there's individuals here today that need to commit their life to Jesus Christ as Lord. Your spouse may not know it. Your children may not know it. You may be shined up. You may be looking good. You may carry a big Bible to church. And you may have joined many churches, but you know there's something missing in your heart. And you know it's Jesus is not on the throne of your heart. And he's telling you to go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and follow me. And it's going to be a terrible day that when you die or when the Lord comes back and you were religious and you went through all the traditions or all the rituals, but you did not know him or you did not love him. And I'm just saying this, wherever you're at today, a little church, a lot of church, a good background generational-wise or not so good faith background, God is calling you and loves you. He understands you. He's pursuing you with his grace. He's drawing you by his Holy Spirit and his word. And he's calling on you today to stand up for him and say, I need a Savior. And I've heard his name is Jesus. And he's speaking to me by the Holy Spirit. And I want to accept him. In just a moment, we're going to sing a closing wonderful song called Amazing Grace. You come, step out of your chair, bring someone with you. We'll celebrate with you and the angels in heaven. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you, we praise you in Christ's name for your great love and compassion. We come before you just admitting our sin. We confess our sin before you. And Lord, we pray that you would save us of our sin. And we pray that you would sanctify us, cause us to be more holy. And Lord, we know your grace through faith accomplishes that in our lives. We pray for individuals here today that have been broken due to life circumstances. Lord, we believe your Holy Spirit is speaking to them about Jesus being the Lord and Savior, their hope and their peace. Today we ask that you would help them to believe, help them to repent, to give them that desire that they may pursue you, that they might indeed come back to the design for which you created all of us, to bring you glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.